This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. Learning resource. The this campus recording was made at Reach 2019.
For more information,
on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.
Okay. Means you can hear all the way in the back. Good, cool, good. All right, 2 years ago I was supposed to be speaking in this room and I got lost in the building on the way down and couldn't find my way around. But I knew it was like adjacent to the outside of the building, so I ran outside and ran around the building until I found a door that let me in here. So there are always ways to get things done. Well, it looks like we have mostly young people in here. That's great. Okay, if anytime you can't hear me or anytime you want to talk, you know, put your hand up. I have a little disadvantage here in that the lights are shining right in my eyes. So if you think I'm staring at you, I'm probably not. It's probably because I can't see anything and I'm just like looking out to see if anybody's still here. Everybody get the notes they needed? Anybody not have notes? Okay, some people in the back do not have notes. Could somebody volunteer to provide them for them, okay? Are you the volunteer? Nope, apparently not. So the subject today is Christian maturity, as we already heard. When Faith Builders contacted me and they said, you know, would I like to speak at Reach? I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And they said, well, what do you think the church needs to hear about? So, and I said, well, Christian maturity is a huge issue as I've worked with the church and schools and people over the years. So I'm excited to be here talking about that subject to you this morning. Yesterday, Richie Lauer had a workshop on the subject. Okay, put your hand up if you need handouts because they are on the way. Richie Lowry had a workshop on burnout. Was anybody in the burnout workshop yesterday? Okay, just a few of us were in there. All right, terrible subject. Why would you take a subject like that? But he used a very strange word. He used a very strange word when he talked about that. And he used the word adult, A-D-U-L-T. You know what an adult is? If you know what adult is, okay? Well, he used the word adult, and I can tell you that over the years, what I've noticed is that there are very few adults in the room, okay? And when we look at who is in charge of the church, who's in charge of the family, who's in charge of Reach or anything, you know, there are typically not so many adults. And I'm going to quote Richie again here. He said, if you go with the 80-20 rule, that 20% of the people make everything happen, you could take the other 80% out and you'd never miss them. But if you took the 20% out, the other 80% would have no idea what to do because they're not adults, okay? A little scary stuff here today, and some of you are kind of young, but I hope you're going to pay attention and catch on. Being an adult is not all that difficult, but it's something you're going to have to get, you know, in between your cranium here somewhere. So as I looked at the life of Jesus and tried to see and see what he was doing and how God brought him into the world and how and where and why and with whom, this is where I came up with these notes. So in front of you, you should have notes. I think I've got them all right here right now. So the first thing is you must be attached, okay? How many young people, and I work with young people most of my adult life, many of them are not attached to anything. Or they're trying to attach to something. Not connected. Attachment or connection, this is the first thing to becoming an adult. You must be attached. You must be connected to something. And we're striving and looking for all kinds of stuff to be attached to today. And we're really struggling with it. You know, how can we be attached to whatever? So the first thing is to be attached, to be connected. Now, how do we do that? Roman numeral one, there's a healthy secure attachments must be used. And if you study psychology, study Eric Erickson, he gets really big on this subject, but you don't really have to do that. You can just talk about the subject from a biblical perspective. We must be attached. We must be connected. So when God brought his son into the world, he put him in a family. And we know something about the integrity of Joseph. We know something about the worship of Mary. And we know that God put his son right there in that very, very secure place. And we know that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. Is that right? So he grew in all kinds of ways, very, very healthy ways, to become the person that he was going to become. And that's very important. And it's important as parents that we establish that. Unfortunately, as young people, as children, you have no control over that, okay? So what if you don't find yourself in a situation like that? There are still good people out there to whom you can attach, okay? There are good people out there who are already willing and ready and available. And this is why we have a bio family, but it's also why we have a spiritual family. Spiritual church is spiritual family. There are spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual brothers, and spiritual sisters in the church. And those are people to whom you can attach, to whom you can connect. And so you can find security in that situation. So what happens as we take this first step toward connection and attachment? What it does is it includes love, care, rules, training, boundaries, obedience, self-control, character, trust, a trust type of attachment, security, significance, love, and joy. And what this does for us, is it gives us the ability to receive love. We need many abilities in life, and one of the abilities we need, and it's been in bold type there, okay, it develops in us the ability to accept love and joy as a basis for life. When you know you're loved, you know you're connected, you know you're secure, you know that you are worthy of being loved. Is that good? Do you want to be loved? We all need to be loved, okay? And God puts us places where love is available. And so that's very important. All right, so the second thing that happens is that you need to be attached, connected, but you also need to become your own person. You are unique. There's only one you. There'll never be another you. And you're here, and you're alive, and there's a reason for that, okay? God wants you here. He wants you alive. He wants you to be doing something for him, and so he has placed you at a place where love is available to you, but he's also telling you that he wants you to become an individual. So Jesus, at 12 years of age, what? Did he know that there was a call of God on his life? Was there a call of God on his life? Did he know? Maybe he didn't know exactly what the call was, but he knew there was a call. And so you, as you're growing up, you know there's a time when you know that God has a call on your life. And so you are your own person. There's only ever going to be one of you. And that call of God on your life is so, so important. So you become an individual. You're separate from other people. Your name's important. You're valuable. God's given you skills. You're not your mom. You're not your dad. You're not your sister. You're not your uncle. You are you. And God loves you for who you are. Okay? But he wants you to be your individual person. He has a task for you that only you can do. Nobody else can do that. Only you can do that. I can't do your task. You can't do mine. But God has a purpose for you. So you're an individual. You develop your own values. You grow up. You ask questions. And what is going to happen here is in the attachment, we learn to accept love. When we know who we are, we learn to give love. So, okay, in stage one, we learn to accept love. We are worthy of being loved. People love us. God loves us. And so love can flow into our lives. When we know who we are, then we know that we can give love. We can share love with other people. And that is so, so important. And working with people for a couple years now, I discover the problem people have being willing to accept love. Just can't seem to accept love. Okay, and my afternoon session is going to be more about that, living in fear or living in love. Okay, and if we live in love, and we know we can accept love from other people. And so the first two points here are very important. Being connected, we are lovable, God loves us, we can accept love from other people. Point two, becoming an individual, you are able to give love to other people. Give and accept. So we're learning, we're growing up as we go. And joy is always a part of this. Little caution on there, counselors can impose things on you. These notes are designed to use in teaching. So I just use some of my notes without really adjusting them too much here. Teaching, you know, where the classes are an hour and a half long and they go for 6 weeks. And so we can talk about so many different things, which is going to be difficult today. But be careful with counseling. There are a lot of good counselors out there, But counselors can tend to impose things on you. They can tend to shape you into the person they want you to be. And that's a real problem. As I observe counselors, that becomes a real problem. So if you get into a counseling situation like that, and I can tell you, one of the reasons that counseling works, that people are so struggling and so hurting and so lacking of direction that they get somebody who starts telling them what to do, and all of a sudden, their life shapes up, even if they're telling them wrong things. Okay? Even if they're telling them things that are wrong, their life starts to change because now at least somebody's telling them something. I see many people being steered down the wrong path. What is the right approach? The right approach is if somebody comes to me with a lot of hurts, difficulties, what I'm trying to do is peel away the pain, the hurt, the rejection, the whatever is in there to find the real person that God made. Okay, God made you, and you get sometimes so covered up with pain and struggle and hurt and problems that we don't know who we are. And we get covered with all this kind of thing. And so a good counselor or a good friend or somebody who can work with you is going to be finding the real you in there. Okay, not creating somebody out of whole cloth. Okay, so, all right, number three, discernment. So first of all, we want to be connected. Secondly, we become our own individual. Thirdly, discernment. Discernment means that you've grown up to know that there is good and evil in the world, and you've got to choose the good and reject the evil. And really, if this is the end of the session, which it's not, you have already learned how to be a mature individual. To be a mature individual, you have to be connected, and then you have to be your own person, and then you have to realize that the world is full of good and evil, and you've got to choose the good and reject the evil. Not always so easy. And just since yesterday, I was inundated with calls, and I mean, it's just at 70 years old, I'm like ready to retire and quit, and I guess it won't ever happen until they decide to put me someplace where I can't cause any more trouble. And so, anyway, I want to tell you a story here, a story about my granddaughter, and she's a real charmer, of course. Everybody's granddaughter is a real charmer, right? She's 7 years old, can you imagine? She loves her daddy. She runs and jumps on his lap, and he hugs her, and, you know, she is connected, okay? Really, really connected. And then he bought her a bike, a little two-wheeler bike, and she pushes this thing up the barn hill, and then she crawls on and comes down the barn hill and through the stones and down to the porch, right? So she's connected to her dad, but now she's on a bike, okay? And she's her own person, and she's got her hands, you know, riveted to those handlebars, and her eyes are big as saucers. And she's come flying down there and tries to avoid the cars and the other children and so on. And she's just flying along, right? She has now her own person. She's in charge. And then one time a terrible thing happens. What terrible thing happens? Well, there's a stone in the driveway, right? And she didn't realize what that stone could do to her. And all of a sudden, the front wheel, that bike hits that stone. And skint knees and crying and that terrible bike. The bike was that was my whole life, and now this bike has thrown me off, right? And skinned my knees and my knuckles. And what has my granddaughter learned? Life has good and life has bad, and that stone is going to throw you the next time too, right? That's life, folks. That is life. This is life in a nutshell. We need to be connected to good things. Make sure you are connected to good things. Keep the trash out of your life. Okay? That's a big job today, is it? Anybody have a cell phone? iPhone? Oh, whatever. Okay? People don't seem to know how to do this. But if you're going to survive, it's going to have to happen. You've got to be connected to good things. You've got to be your own person. And you've got to learn discernment means that there is good and bad in the world, and you've got to choose what's good and reject what's bad. And here's something where we got to be careful. You might have a friend where everything is good, right? My phone's going to be my clock here. I don't know if there's any other clocks here or not. So, you might have a friend who everything's good, right? You see them, life is wonderful, life is special, and nothing ever bad happens, right? That's called splitting. We split off to everything's good. You might have another friend who splits off the other way, right? Everything's bad. Every time you talk to them, the world's falling apart and the sky is falling and the Russians are coming and who knows what, you know, the 737 Maxes are crashing and you know they know every bad thing that could possibly happen, right? This is splitting. This is not discerning because life has good, life has bad, and so we've got to decide. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to be discerning. Trust God and godly people. Stay away from evil people who intend to injure you. There are people out there who want to hurt you, okay? Stay away from those people. They're not going to do you any good. And like I just said, what Richie told us yesterday, the 80-20 rule, I know I'm being pretty blunt about this, but I guess you have to trust me for a little bit. So live a life of love and justice, volition, wisdom. Call people up to what's right. Don't be afraid to call people to what's right. Hey, look, something's wrong. And Rick just did that to it. Is that right? Did Rick call you to what's right? Okay. Well, pay attention and listen, okay? Discernment is a result of a Holy Spirit living in your life where you are able to choose the good from among the bad. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. Internet, it's got a lot of bad stuff on it, right? Is there good stuff on it? There's wonderful stuff out there. I hate all this trash talk about the internet's something terrible. It's not. You know, it's a free market. And you can go in there and you can learn so, so much. And it can be such a blessing. But what are you going to do when something pops up on the screen that's bad? What will you do? I didn't really plan this to be interactive, but can you hit the X that gets rid of it? Can you do that? How many of you can do that? How many of you will do it today? Okay? You've got to do this because the devil is out to kill you. Okay? He really is. All right, so there are evil people, and there are foolish people, and there are simple people, wise people. Very few of the people you know in the world are going to be wise. Very few. Very few adults in the world. And you know why we're having troubles in the churches? Things I've encountered just the last couple days. In the one situation, if one man would make an adult decision, the whole problem would go away, and he won't do it. If one man would make an adult decision to do what he knows is right, the whole problem would stop, and he won't do it. Is this guy grown up or isn't he? I don't care how old he is. It doesn't matter how old he is. Okay? So be really, really careful here. In another situation, you know, there are people who say, no, it's got to be like this, non-negotiable, no flexibility, and that's not adult. That's childish. That's how we all were as children. And we've got to grow up. If we can just get people to grow up, our whole churches are going to change. And the reason we can't get stuff done is because we're acting like kids. We're acting like little children who are going to have their way. Okay? If we don't get our way, we're going to lay on the floor and kick and scream, right? Okay? That's what we're doing. Okay? And we don't have enough adults to go around to get this thing fixed. But you're here, and you're going to change the world, right? Okay, good. All right, let's see. An inverted in the bold type there under Roman numeral 3, an inverted spiritual system. We can create spiritual systems that are damaging, and we do have some of those, where right is wrong and wrong is right. When you create an inverted system like that, innocent people feel guilty, and guilty people feel innocent. Ever bump into something like this? Well, it's there, okay? He'll make sure you're not participating and contributing to this kind of thing. Learn how to eat the chicken and spit out the bones, tell the truth with love and care, and don't lose the joy of life. Joy comes from you knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do, and that you know that He has chosen you to do something special. You might not know exactly what it is now, but you're the only you that's ever going to be. And God has chosen you, and you know that He's in charge. And so God gives you the ability to always return to that place of joy. What happens is, if we go through the first couple stages here, where we're connected to something good, and we had that joyful experience of childhood, or friendship, choose that joyful experience to return to. So God has places for us to connect. He made us uniquely himself, the way he wants us to be. And then discernment, whereas Jesus grew up, he had to be very discerning as he dealt with the religious leaders, as he dealt with people like Nicodemus, as he dealt with the woman at the well, as he dealt with all these people. He had to be very, very discerning. He had to know when to say yes and when to say no. And if you can do that, there will be a joy center in your life that nobody can touch. There will be a joy in your heart that nobody can ever get rid of. Do you believe that? It is true. I know that. Okay? That's how I live. Doesn't mean I don't have struggles. I cry a lot. A lot of difficulty. Okay? But there's a joy that nobody will ever be able to touch because God put it there. Okay? Don't forget that. Develop the ability to live victoriously in a fallen, sinful world. In Joshua 7:21, there was a man named Achan. Remember that? He says, I saw it. I coveted it. I took it. And then he died, right? Sad, sad, sad story. Okay, let's see. I have a couple sets of notes here. On the back of the page, hey, I was going to read something else to you. Let's see if I can find it here. Anybody ever hear of Frank Sinatra? Frank Sinatra? You'd have to be old, right? Okay. No, you wouldn't have to be old. Okay. Well, I never listened to Frank Sinatra. But he was big deal, you know, when I was growing up. And he had a famous song. Anybody know his famous song? No, you're all Christians. Okay, good. Okay. So Frank Sinatra's famous song was, I Did It My Way. Okay? That was his famous song. And people my age dying are having Frank Sinatra's songs played at their funeral. They want everybody to know. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more and much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more than this, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, and there was a doubt, I ate it up and I spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it also amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, that I did it my way. For what is man and what has he got? If not himself, then he has nothing. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels? The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Any of that in the church? Do you think any of that got snuck into the church? Every age gets faced with a zeitgeist, a spirit of the age. In my growing up days, it was this song. Even if you didn't listen to it, it still pervaded the philosophy of the day. And it gets into the soup and it gets into the water and we all drink it. And after a while, I think the reason for all the church splits in my generation, I thought maybe it was my fault because, you know, I was born in 1947 and the Mennonite church started falling apart in 1950. So I figured it must have been me because I showed up. But then I discovered that maybe it was Frank Sinatra. Maybe it was not Frank Reed. Maybe it was Frank Sinatra. You know, maybe they bought into his stuff instead of my stuff. So, but then somebody came along some years later and they said, this is a different song. I did it God's way. Now when the end is near, time for me won't be no more. I think back on my life and wonder how I ever made it, or through many dangers, thorns and snares, the pitfalls of long life highway. I heard the voice I made in my choice. I did it God's way. The mountains were hard to climb. The way was dark and dreary. The cross so heavy to bear. There were days I grew weary, but then a voice within me cried, lift up your head, dry your weeping eyes. The record shows which way I chose. I did it God's way. It's when the laughter turns to tears and my joy turns to sorrow, I think back on the days when it seems like there ain't no tomorrow. Unseen dangers, hidden snares often took me unaware. I took prayer and faith and a little grace, and I did it God's way. Yes, there were times, not so few, when I didn't know just what to do, but when I was lost, I called without a doubt. He brought me out. With prayer and faith and a little more grace, I did it God's way. It's your choice, folks. You have to decide. Roman number 4, adulthood. Grow and mature as a believer and a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Recognize and relate properly to authority, to biblical authority structures. Recognize and reject authority that's not biblical, and all that power and expertise and skills and reason and logic. And avoid manipulation. Don't demand that people do things your way. Learn to appeal. But remember that in our adulthood, we need to be able to choose godly authority and reject authority that is not godly. Okay? Understand authority. Authority is important. Learn to deal effectively with sin and understand authority. God and His Word, our primary accountability and authority. So you need to be able to discern as you go through life. Some of you are really young and you're in a church someplace. I'm not telling you what to do, but you need to understand what God is calling you to do and what God is asking you to do, and there is unbiblical authority out there. Do you realize that? And we are not called to to submit to unbiblical authority. We are called to follow God's way, and I know that's a whole big subject I could get in trouble with here. You need to learn how to discern what is godly authority. You also need to know how to discern how to be a godly authority yourself. Only if you can bring yourself under authority can you ever learn to be an authority. If there are people who will not come under authority, they cannot be an authority. And they will cause trouble at every turn. Be able to not follow wrong, sinful authority. Be able to stay connected to the love and joy of living. Be aware that not all counselors are wise. We talked about that a little bit already. Develop understanding of how to use authority and how to relate to God-established authority. There are good ways to do authority, and there are bad, harmful ways to do authority. We need to be careful. Roman numeral 5, healing processes for spiritual immaturity. What if you find yourself an immature person or you're not quite sure, you know, what God's calling you to at this point? Got a few advice, a little bit of advice for you here under Roman numeral 5. Find a healthy, healing environment. I spent 20 years of my life in Mennonite education, and I have been so blessed by the people that God has called into many of the Mennonite schools. I know we've had some struggles. We've had to have teachers. We've had to ask teachers to leave, sometimes ask administrators to leave, and hopefully our boards have the courage to do that. But schools are places, when I think about it, the power of our schools, it's just unbelievable. For example, I was going to go to college to be a counselor, and as I was studying, I was thinking, oh dear, this means I'd be sitting across a desk from somebody 8 days a week. You know, I don't think I can do that. And I started thinking, well, maybe if I learned to be a teacher, and I'd have a whole group of people out there, and I could convey God's truth to them. And then he could go convey God's truth to other people, right? So instead of being a counselor, you know, I sort of became a teacher. And so God has provided with some excellent schools and places where you can find a great deal of health there. Now, it's not a place to just expose yourself randomly, but it's a place where God can provide excellent direction for you in many of our schools. So find a healthy, healing environment. Find where you can find the strength for life and for relationships. Accept personal responsibility for your attitudes and your actions. You know, responsibility is absolutely huge. You must accept responsibility. You're responsible for what happens in your life. Once you get to be your age, you're responsible. It doesn't mean you're going to throw everybody else out, but you must take responsibility, okay? don't have bigger-than-life heroes. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I think this person is some kind of a god. You know, Frank Reed will fail you someday. And everybody else will too. We've got to be following God. Jesus Christ is the only real pattern, okay? So, don't have bigger-than-life heroes. Develop spiritual discernment. Don't develop blind following. Develop understanding. The Bible says with all you're getting, get understanding. Some of you have studied. Some of you have accomplished a great deal in life already. But with all you're getting, get understanding so that you can put things together and see where this is going to take you. This is what the Bible says. Humans are complex. Many areas need to be developed. Your mind, your will, your emotion, your spirit. You're a complex person. We're all complex. And so when we don't understand ourselves, that's not a surprise, okay? Because we are very complex. And sometimes we can't figure ourselves out, but God can. And so this is why we study the scripture. This is why we read passages like Psalm 19, where who can understand his errors? Can I always understand my errors? No, but God can. And if I expose myself to the scripture, he will. And the scripture will then be there to bring correction into my life. Place God first in your life. Place love first. Relate respectfully to all persons. Don't hand the gavel to anyone but God. You know, you have these kinds of people that you meet them, and they're sort of fawning, and they're like, oh, I hope this person likes me. That's all. Well, no, it doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line is not whether I like you or not. What if I don't like you? That's not the end of the world, right? Okay, hopefully I will, and hopefully you'll like me. But if we don't, it's not the end of the world, okay? So, but you do not get to hand the gavel to me so I can decide if you're okay or not, and I don't hand the gavel to you so you can decide to be the judge over my life. So be careful. God's the judge. Forsake and forgive to receive healing. There's so much junk in most of our lives that we need to forsake it, we need to get it out of our lives, and we need to forgive things, people at your ages. I know some of you are older, but a lot of young people in here. Even at your young ages, people have done things to you, with you, for you, against you. Forgive it, okay? Confess it, forgive it, let it go, okay? And stand on God's truth. Don't allow false guilt to control your life. You know, the problem with false guilt is that it behaves the same as real guilt, okay? It feels the same as real guilt. Real guilt happens when, probably we all did some of this, you know, you took a candy bar to store, right? Anybody remember anything terrible? Or a pack of gum or whatever, and your parents discovered it. So back to the store, right? Anybody been there, done that, you know? So that's real guilt, and that's easy to get rid of. Real guilt is easy to get rid of. False guilt happens when you are asked to do something you can't do. My worn-out illustration is that supposing, you know, you ask a three-year-old child to carry a pitcher of milk from the refrigerator to the table. What's liable to happen? What are they going to do? Are they going to make it or no? Probably not. They're going to spill the milk, break the pitcher, and then somebody can say, oh, now look what you did, and this poor little person is going to collapse, right? Are they guilty? They are not guilty. Why not? The task was far beyond them. The person who told them to do it is guilty. Who feels guilty? This little person, okay? Most of us have grown up with some of that somewhere along the way, that false guilt. You know, I meet people who are 60 and 70 years old and still dealing with false guilt. And it's almost impossible for you to become a mature human being if you're dealing with false guilt. So what do we do? I mean, I could tell stories, but, you know, the time's getting away. We have to say, we need somebody to talk to us and talk English in gentle terms to us and say, you know what? That was not your responsibility. Take that off your shoulders and put it at the feet of the person who asked you to do too much, okay? You don't have to do it literally. Maybe that person's dead and gone. Maybe you never saw that person again. Whatever, okay? But you must make sure you're not carrying a load that's not yours to carry. Let me see how much time I have left and if I want to take that any farther. I could say a little bit more about that. I bump into this with people who say there's a husband and wife not getting along. And so mom maybe co-opts, this happened to me, co-opts her oldest son for her emotional husband, right? And as a little boy, could I handle that? No. I was asked to carry a load I could not carry, and I collapsed. So we have to take that load away. If you're carrying a load that's too heavy, get it off your shoulders. Okay, it feels like real guilt, but it's not real guilt. Because it's not something you could ever have done. Okay? Tell God you're sorry that it ever happened. And he will take care of it. Find somebody to pray with you. So make sure, you know, when there's this guilt that you're feeling, so many people live with so much guilt. And much of it is false. Don't let that happen. Don't become a clone for anybody. Don't become a clown for anybody. Make sure you are a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and be able to return to and stay connected to those original ideas of being connected to good things, being recognizing that you are your own unique person and that you have learned how to make decisions for the truth and against the wrong, and stay connected to that kind of love and joy in your life, even in all the difficulties that the devil can throw against you. Roman numeral 6, learn to fix what's broken. It's a huge issue with me. We're good at breaking things, okay? Relationships, marriages, churches, we have not done well with fixing the things we've broken. But if we don't learn how to do that, and Jesus tells us what to do, if there's an issue between you and someone, go to that person and tell them, we all know how to do it, but not doing it is causing us a lot of trouble. Okay. A lot of marriages are struggling, and some of them, they're still living together, but things aren't, it's not really a marriage, okay? So when things get broken, and learn to do that when you're young, and I try to walk people through this so they know how to do this. When you're young, learn that it's worth taking the time to, it's worth taking the time to go to the person and heal those broken relationships, those injured relationships. Make sure you're willing to do that. Confession, repentance, restoration of fellowship. We've been pretty good at, well, if it doesn't work for this church, we're going to run, right? I thought about starting this by asking if anybody has had any experience with church problems along the way. I guess I'll ask you now. Anybody know anything about, it's like... an infestation or something, okay? We can't fix broken things. We can fix broken things, you know? But we're going to have to be adults, and if we can be Christian, mature believers, we can fix the broken things. We really can. We're going to have to swallow hard, and we're going to have to say, it was my fault. If we can do that, we can fix broken things. If we can't do that, it won't work. Roman numeral 7, a resilience in difficulty, where your joy can become a part of your life, a part of the rejoicing of your heart, because you know that you've done what was right, you know you did what God asked you to do. And so I think I'm going to stop there while we still have a few minutes left and open this up for discussion, questions from you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.